Was there, you get in front of people and your brain kind of goes blank, but yeah. Thanks, Steve, as well, for sharing this morning about Father's Day, and that's kind of where I want to go as well, so he had some good thoughts to share there about fathers. Thank you for praying, those who prayed for me. I really appreciate that and really felt that this week as well, as the Lord encouraged me this week in the Scriptures, and I know as if you've ever shared or prepared a message, you're the one that's really blessed, and hopefully the few thoughts that I share with you today will be a blessing to you. So I've entitled the message this morning, Encouragement for Fathers. Encouragement for Fathers. And I look across the audience here, and Allison, oh, I have about half a congregation of ladies here, which is okay, that's good, you're here. And I also entitled it, Encouragement for Fathers and Others. So there's going to be some things that are specific for fathers, but there's going to be things in here that you, as well, ladies or others, can apply to your life. Maybe you're here and you're not a father yet. You can apply it to your life as well. So there's going to be some practical things I hope you can take, and we'll ask God to do that this morning, that he'll speak to our hearts and challenge us, each one. So let's pray together and ask him for that. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to be gathered, to open your word so freely and to share from it. And I pray this morning that you would use your word to speak to our hearts. And so we just pray this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, fathers, an encouragement for fathers. The role of a father, as we heard this morning, sometimes it can be overwhelming when you think about it. And it's a God-given role. And I'm thankful this morning as a father that we don't have to do it in our own strength. When we do it in our own strength, we fail. And God's given us provision to be a good father and to be a blessing to our children. Perhaps you're a father whose children have grown and have gone out of the home. You're maybe a grandfather, maybe just an uncle here this morning. But there's a role for each one of us to play. And even as a father, your children grow up and they go from small to adults and they leave the home. That's the whole idea of it. As a father, there's still an opportunity there to minister to your children and be a blessing to them. If you were to look at, I looked at some statistics this week. I'm not a statistical guy, really, but I like running through them once in a while. But we came across some statistics. Do you know how many children in Canada under 18 have no father in the home? Well, the statistics from 2008 says 1.13 million kids in Canada alone, under 18, have no father in the home. So it's very plain to see that the role of fatherhood is under attack. Being a father and being there for your family and children. In the States, it's 8.3 million. These statistics come from 2008, so it's higher. And the effect that a father has on his family is huge. And I think we all know that. It's a God-given role. And it's something we need to take seriously as well. As I thought about Father's Day and just what examples are there for us in Scripture? Where can we get some direction for this? I could not find one where you'd look to and say, well, there's the example right there. There it is. When you look through Scripture, you see failure upon failure upon failure. And it was mentioned this morning, our Heavenly Father is the one that we see in the Scriptures that's perfect. The other one that was mentioned to me by my dear wife says, what about the prodigal son's father in Luke 15? And I would think you see many good things in that as well. That's a parable. And that's a picture. We call it the prodigal son, but it's also really the looking father and a picture of the Lord himself. And we see examples there of his life somewhat. But this is a God-given responsibility, and that we as fathers would take that seriously. It's God-given. We've seen Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians 11 how the father is to be the head of the home. And so the first thing where I think where the world has really messed this up or taking the responsibility away or the thought of the importance of it away is a father really scripturally should be married. If he's fathering children outside of marriage, it's sin. And the Scripture is clear on that a father is to be a husband of one wife. And that is an important thing. And I'm going to touch on that a little later on, but the relationship with the husband and the wife has a huge impact on the children. A huge impact. It's also God's given design as in that relationship of marriage. And also importance. And you look at James chapter 1, verse 27. I'm just going to ask you to return there. First of all, it talks about pure religion. And religion is the actions that we consistently do. Religion does not save someone. It comes from your heart. So we're changed within, and yet the things that we do come out in actions. In James chapter 1, James talks about this, but just how this is important. Fathers are important to the Lord. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this." And what's he say it is? To preach a message, to whatever it might be, you can fill in the blank. He says, this is what's pure before God. To visit the fatherless, those that don't have fathers, and the widows in their affliction. And he links that together with being unspotted and keeping oneself unspotted from the world. And so there's, in God's eyes, fatherhood is important. And those that don't have fathers, we should be visiting and should be encouraging them. And they need father figures. And they might, we might help in that. So this is important to God. Now I want to touch on, I think it's five different areas. I should count them again here. But first of all, I want to talk on the responsibility of a father. Our responsibility to our children. Then I want to focus in on our availability to the Lord. Our dependability on the Lord. Our approachability to our family. And then the possibility. The possibility of our children and what the Lord has in store for them. All right, our responsibility. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6, and that's the first passage where I want to look. And the first example of what was given this morning about a father was that they would discipline their children. That's an important part of it. But Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, and this is the verses that we often know, is, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." And that's kind of where we kind of get to, and we know, okay, children, we got to obey our parents now. But then it says something very important. It says fathers. It says fathers, not mothers. It says fathers. It says, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So here Paul addresses fathers. And the responsibility that fathers have. And it's not to provoke their children to anger, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as fathers, I think often we can kind of get distracted from that. We're task-oriented. We have tasks. We want to do tasks. We want to be busy. We want to do a lot of things and see things and do them. But we need to have this in our radar. Because it's from the Lord and what he wants for us. That we would be bringing our children up in the nurture and admonition and take note of the Lord. I don't know how, fathers, you guys find it in your life, but we can be busy. I can be busy. And I find that business is okay. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing, but too much of it is a wrong thing. But it is so easy to be busy doing things ahead of spiritual things. It's easier to drive a tractor, plant a crop, go to the barn, whatever, swing a hammer, mow the lawn. It's so easy to do those physical things. It just is like, hey, I can do that and just drive on. But to focus on spiritual, we need the Lord and need the Lord's help in that, because it doesn't come in a natural sort of way. So we're to bring them up. And if you're here this morning with young children, I want to encourage you, start young. That's, and probably if you had advice from grandparents here, they say, you got to start young. That's when we're to start, when we have them. Start young. Now, to provoke not, what does that mean? To provoke not our children to anger. To provoke means to make angry or enrage. And as fathers, you'll know that sometimes we make our children angry. That's just the long and short of it. When we discipline and when we say, no, you cannot do that. No, I don't want that. That's not allowed. We make them angry. It doesn't say we can't make them angry, but we're not to provoke them to anger. And to provoke them would be to assert authority in a wrong way. To assert authority in a wrong way. How would I assert authority in a wrong way to my children to provoke them? I wrote down three examples. I'm not saying this is a full list of all the examples, but I wrote down three. The first one was, make demands that we don't keep ourselves. Make demands that we don't keep ourselves. Now, that would provoke you think back to your childhood. Would that provoke you? If you make demands on your children, but you don't intend to keep it yourself? I think that is asserting your authority in an unhealthy way, in a wrong way. And I just have a little example here, but we try to keep our table manners kind of good around home. And don't look at me like that, dear. we're pretty relaxed, but I'm kind of a rude guy, or I can burp, whatever. But we decide, you know what, we can't have that at the table. We just can't have that. And so if I make that demand on my kids, no burping at the table. It's just rude. And so when they burp, I say, well, there's no dessert for you. And yet I can sit there and belch away. That would provoke them to anger, wouldn't it? And that's kind of a humorous example, but you know what I'm saying, fathers? We can't make demands that we don't intend to keep ourselves. So we have to be very consistent with that. So demands that we don't keep ourselves. Unreasonable demands or undue harshness. And that, sometimes we can come down that way as well. Undue harshness. When we just have it in our attitude that we're not having a good day and we're just going to come down on them. That's the end of that. And not show grace toward our kids. So that can provoke our kids when they don't know how to read us, and when we just show that undue harshness. Also, constant nagging. Always at them. You're not measuring up. You never a word of encouragement. Just nag, nag, nag. That can discourage them. That can provoke them. And we as fathers have to be aware that we're not to provoke our children's anger. But on the positive side, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I think that's so important to keep focused here. Of the Lord. We have to bring them up in the things of the Lord and not lose sight of that. To nurture means to tutor, to educate, train, or correct. I'll read that again. Tutor. We know what a tutor is. When someone needs help at school, they get a tutor in, or your parents tutor you, help you along. Educate, just to tell you all about what things are about. To train. That's kind of so when you're going the wrong way, you can kind of, this is how you do it, and get right in there with them and show them. And to correct. And to admonish means to instruct. It also has the thought of a mild rebuke or a warning. So those are the things that the scriptures are telling us as fathers to do. And it's not just exclusive to fathers. I think each one of us can do that with one another too, can nurture and admonish one another in the Lord. But those are those things. Now, when I think of nurturing, I think of a gardener. I think of a farmer or someone who likes to work in the flower beds. You look to your field, you look to your flower beds, your garden, and you look there and you look for weeds. You look for things that are disruptive. The soil is nice and cultivated. And I think that's a part of nurturing is just taking time and showing attention to those children. I think it's a very important part of nurturing and just being with them and tell them, hey, this isn't right or this is right. And just seeing those weeds and telling them about those weeds and pulling them out. Attention. To correct. And the thought there, often I think of correction as a negative thing, but I think correct is more to show the right way. So, okay, you are wrong, but here's the correction. Here's the right way. So when you correct something, it's wrong, but you show the right way. Does that make sense? To rebuke is to say, no, that's wrong. But to correct is to say, this is how it's right. And that's an important thing as a father, is to correct and to show the right way, the straight way, the right way. I was encouraged the other week about 2 Timothy 3:16 came up. And that verse there talks about how all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, to know what God is like, what he wants for us, how we are to live. It's profitable for reproof. So when we go wrong, it shows us, hey, that's wrong. And then it says it's profitable for correction. There's the right way. And then instruction in righteousness, how to stay on that path and to carry on. And that is such an important thing, that a verse like that, and I refer to it as our GPS. And that has its issues too, GPS, but it's our map, it's our guide. And actually, I think a map is almost better than GPS. GPS is handy, but sometimes it's not always right. And I could tell you stories about that one, and I'm sure you know your own stories of how that thing can put you all over the place. And it just has a one-way thinking. This is where you got to go, and you can't go that way because it's blocked or something. But a map can show you other routes. And the scriptures is a map for us, that how we can look to it and say, hey, this is what we need. And that is such an important verse to take home today, I think, is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for those things, and that we would rest in that and be people who are in the scripture. And fathers, how you're given that responsibility as spiritual leadership. Not that you can't work with your wife. You have to work with your wife. You have to be a team and work together. But you are there to give that leadership and direction. And so correction is so important as well. We think of nurturing as well and admonition. Now, what are we to teach our children? What's the whole goal behind it all? That they become good kids? Well, my kids say, well, what do you want for Father's Day? Well, I want good kids. That's kind of what I reply back. I don't want a gift. I don't miss gifts, fine, but that's good. I appreciate that you'd give that, and thanks for that. But I want good kids. Well, it's more than that. The Lord wants more than good kids. He wants his kids. He wants those kids to be his kids. And I think that's the whole goal of fatherhood, of parenting, that we would bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Point them to Christ. That is the goal of parenting, to point them to Christ, that they would come to know Christ as Savior. And repent of their sins. They're born by nature sinners, and you see it in practice. You don't have to teach them, even though we do, not willingly. They see it in our lives too, the failures and sins that we have. But to bring them up and to show them and point them to Christ, and how the family unit, how fatherhood, how parenting is for a further purpose. It's for an eternal purpose. That people, as they look on, would see Christ in the church and Christ's love for the church, and would display Christness, Christ-likeness to others around us. It's a witness and testimony. When people see kids working together as a family and a family in unity together, that is a witness, because that doesn't always happen. It doesn't happen very often. And even in our homes, it doesn't happen all the time either. There's sometimes disunity there. And that's God's purpose, that we bring them to the Lord, show them to the Lord. Now, they have to make that choice. We cannot make them become believers in Christ as much as we'd like to. And maybe you're here this morning and you have kids who are outside of Christ. And I have encouragement for you later on as well. They have to make their choices. They do make their choices. But we have to commit them to the Lord and pray for them. As we teach and educate and train our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I think there's three important things: that we bring them up in the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. And that's something that is missing today, that fear of God. Not a trembling fear, but I think that's part of it. But just a real... trembling fear is part of it. Not that we're afraid to approach him, because we have that boldness to come to him, but to realize, God, you are a great God. And it's only by your grace I can come before you. I want to just show you a verse that I was encouraged with just the other day in Acts chapter 9. I believe it was Phil Barnes spoke on fearing God about a month or so ago. And it's an important thing that we recognize that God is a God to be feared, and that not that we don't have the ability to approach him, we do in Christ, and that we should, but to reverentially fear God and to honor him. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. This is after Saul was converted, and he wanted to join himself with the believers or disciples there, and Barnabas came alongside and said, no, he is saved. He is a born-again believer. And so he was together with them, and how he taught them there. And it says in verse 31 of Acts 9, and then had all the churches rest through all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. We see in the early church that they had a reverential fear for God. And there was a fear. God, you are a great God. You are a powerful God. But you're a God who cares and loves me. And so there's that fear. And I think that's an important thing as parents, to bring our children up in the fear of God. to recognize, yes, there's a God you're accountable to. There's a God I'm accountable to. And that we would point them to the Lord. We also need to point them to love the Lord. I was reminded of how He loved us first. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son. And because of that love, we return that love back to Him. And in Mark 12, it talks about how someone came to Jesus and says, "What's the greatest commandment?" And it was that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And just that thought of loving God and how they need to come to Christ for their Savior and then love Him and live for Him. And tied with that is obedience to God. And in Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 6, talks about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 as well. And in John 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And that's an important thing, that we would teach our children to walk in obedience with the Lord. So bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's our responsibility as fathers, and that we would take that seriously. And that we wouldn't just look to others to do that. Well, maybe the Sunday school can do that, or whatever other thing might do that. No, that's your responsibility, fathers. And it's important. And the children need that. And not to lose sight of the big picture. And often we can do that when we're in the midst of everything and things aren't going well, or someone's being rebellious to you as a father. Look at the bigger picture and say, you know what? I need to invest in this child for eternity and for God's glory and to impact them that way. All right, so that's the thought of our responsibility as fathers. That's a good part of our responsibility, is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to look at our availability, and this can apply not only to fathers, but to everyone. Our availability to the Lord. As we are fathers, or as we build into one another's lives, we need to be available to the Lord. And what I'm getting at here is, you look at the role of being a father, it is overwhelming. Think, how am I going to do that? Well, we can't do that. We need to be available to the Lord, to be a channel to be used of the Lord. And I wanted to just put into one thought here, and that's the thought of purity. I think that's an important thing as we are before the Lord and looking to be available of Him and be used of Him and look to Him for strength, is purity. And purity in our word, thought, and deed. In our words, Father, sometimes our words can be coarse, sometimes they can be rough, but the Scripture gives us the admonition how we need to have pure words. And I just want to turn to Colossians chapter 3, and we look to the Lord in all this, our availability to the Lord, and let's not lose sight of that, how we need the Lord's help in this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9. It says there, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." And I'll stop there. We could read on, but that is not just for fathers. That's for every one of us, that our communication would be pure. But as fathers, it's important that our communication is pure to our kids, and that it's not coarse or wrong. That is pure, and that we put aside those things and look to the Lord for help. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we can get upset. Maybe you're not like me, but I can get fired up sometimes. And by God's grace, He's working on me in that way. And yeah, I guess we're all different. I just wear my emotions on my sleeves quite often, it seems, and that's just the way it is. But God's still got to work in my life. I can't just say, well, that's the way it is, and I'm just going to be that way. I have to look to Him to help me overcome those things and to have grace, even though I don't feel like showing grace. It's not easy sometimes, but we need God's help. And that's where I'm trying to drive at here. As parenting, as we work together, even as a congregation, that we would have that availability to the Lord, that we'd be pure in our words together. And I'm so glad for each one of you. I just want to stop and say that just for a second. As a congregation, it is such a blessing to have a community of believers to meet together and to encourage one another. That is such a blessing. And let's not lose the preciousness of that. That's God's design too. I just want to encourage you in that. Don't lose sight of that preciousness of meeting together. And as we meet together, we meet because the Lord's here and in His name. But then we have that ministry one to another. Let's carry on with that and encourage one another in that. So purity in word, we need the Lord's help in that. Secondly, purity in thought. And it was mentioned this morning about Romans chapter 12 and how we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And again, that brings us back to the scripture and to the Lord. Lord, you need to renew my mind. You need to fill my mind with things that are right and pure and good. And again, our availability to the Lord to do that, and that our thought would be affected. And that's where our actions come out of, is our thoughts. That's where our words come out of, our thoughts. And the scripture admonishes us in our thoughts and in our minds. We affect those around us, whether we like it or not, we do. We affect those around us, and may the Lord help us to be a blessing and to affect in a positive way. Thirdly, I put down here purity in our deeds. How we need the Lord's help to have purity in our deeds, that our motives would be right as we do things. And sometimes we just do things and think, well, our motives are right. But as we really think about it, is my motive right? And our kids will sometimes challenge us in that, why we do things. And is your motive right in that? And we need those challenges. And in our deeds and our actions, we need to look to the Lord again. Help me, Lord, in those things. And I put down five different things here. In our personal walk, how we need to walk with the Lord day by day. And I think it's such a blessing. You look back in your life, I'm sure many of you probably had fathers who were believers. And you saw in their lives how God worked in their lives and how he changed them and how God's word became important in their lives and how they studied it and took time to study. And you knew it. And you knew that they were reading and praying. And that is such an impact. And as fathers, we can have that impact. And each one of us, too, in our lives, that we would have our walk with the Lord would be vibrant. I want to encourage you as fathers, if your children are still in the home or young yet, even in family devotion times together, I want to encourage you to do that and to start that young. You might think, well, the kids are too small. They won't catch on to anything. They will catch on to things. And they see that is important in your life, that we open the Word together and that we talk about it together and that we're open with one another in the things of God. It's just a part of life. It is part of our life. It's not just a Sunday thing. It is part of our daily life. Here's the thought of the challenge. Okay, when are you going to do that if you were to do that as a family? Just spend a bit of time together in the Word. Would it be mealtime? That's a good time to do it because usually you're together at meals. But here's the challenge. How many times are you together as a family for a meal? In a day, through the week. Well, everyone here would say, well, we eat three meals together. Three. If you do that, you're doing good. That's good. Maybe some of you eat four meals together. I don't know. But if your children are in school and this and that and the other, do you have one meal through the week together as a family? You know, it's under attack, too. And it's important. You cannot neglect those times together. Those are times you talk and communicate. So I want to encourage you, make time to have family devotions together. Make it important. And be in the Word. And you can. There's lots of helps out there. You can have the Word of God. Just read the Word of God and explain it. You can have a daily bread reading and with the Scriptures, whatever it might be. There's different ways to do that. But make it an important thing in your life. And I want to challenge you, don't just do it out of routine. Well, we read the Scriptures three times a day and at every meal, and that's the way it is. And we can have that attitude and say, well, we're doing it right, but our attitude's not right. And I want to encourage us, do it with a freshness that, hey, this is important. This is exciting. What can we learn today from God? And what we've done in our family a little bit is that we'll try in the morning, if we're eating together as a family in the morning, which doesn't happen often through the week, but in the weekends it does, but even through the summer, if we're eating in the morning together, we'll try to read in the morning. That way we have those thoughts with us through the day. If it doesn't work in the morning, we'll do it in the evening. Whatever. That's fine. It's not like it's got to be here or there. We can have some flexibility. But as we read in the morning, we'll come together at lunch and say, okay, what did we read about this morning? What were the thoughts? What were we challenged with? What was the idea of the scripture reading? And you know, there's a lot of times we can't come up with it. Even after 3 hours. What did we read about? And I think if we keep that fresh and exciting, that it keeps our minds on it a bit. So I want to challenge you in our deeds as we look to the Lord for help on that. Look to the Lord, fathers, to give that leadership. And fathers, that's your responsibility in the home. Give that leadership. Not that you've got to be doing everything, but give that leadership. Talk it over with your wife. Say, yeah, I want to. I think it's important we read together as a family and work together on be in the same page as that and look for ways to implement that into your family. Be involved in the local assembly. There's another thought of deed here. Be involved. again, thinking of just the preciousness of coming together. Well, be involved. If you want to be a part, be involved. It's what God has for you. He really does. He wants to use you. It'll be obviously in different ways. We're all different. But he wants to use you. You're a special part here. He's gifted you in a special way. So look to the Lord to use you in whatever way that might be. And also those that we come across in our paths. We meet all kinds of people, either at work, at our school, wherever it might be. Look to the Lord to be a blessing, a channel through that. So we looked at our responsibility as fathers. Our availability now we've looked at to the Lord and how we need to look to the Lord for help in all these things. Because if we look on our own, we will fail. And it can be discouraging. But let's look to the Lord. And you know, we will fail. That's the way it is. We will fail. We will do things wrong. We will make bad calls. But the wonderful thing is that there is forgiveness and there is grace as we look to the Lord and say, Lord, I have failed. And you know I failed. I'm telling you that. I claim your forgiveness. And also, fathers, this is sometimes a hard thing to do, but tell your kids you're sorry too. When you've failed and you've done something wrong, you've handled it the wrong way, just tell them, hey, I'm wrong. That's a hard thing to do. But do it. And they will sense your humility and your care for them. All right, we looked at our responsibility, our availability to the Lord, and our dependability in the Lord. And this I put down as prayerful, that we would be praying people. Praying not only for our own lives, but for our children. And to never quit. I want to encourage, maybe you're older here with children that are growing, and never quit praying for your kids. As I mentioned earlier, our relationships change somewhat in our parenting. And when they're young, you got them fenced in, and you've got control over what goes on. But as they grow, the whole idea is to build into them that they become mature adults and trust that they know the Lord and live for Him. And so you have to let them go. They have to go. And as they do that, they make wrong decisions too. And they learn the hard way. We did and are still learning, and they will. And they will learn as well. But keep praying for them, because God never gives up on them. He never does. And I'm sure there's parents here who have prayed for their kids for years and have seen the Lord change them. I'm sure there's parents here who have prayed for their kids for years and think, Lord, nothing's happened. And we have heard of stories where people have prayed for years and in their lifetime have never seen a change in their kids. And yet after they're gone, hear about how God saves them gloriously. Don't give up praying. Commit them to the Lord. Depend on Him. And I could go through a lot of verses here, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to mention them quickly. James talks about, James 5, how the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that could be man or woman. Philippians 4, verse 6 talks about how we are to cast our care on Him and to pray with all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6, when it talks about that warfare, the Christian warfare, how part of that Christian warfare is not only the armor of God, but to pray. Praying's difficult. It takes discipline. And again, I'm challenging you this morning. It is so important. It's our link of dependability with the Lord to pray. Not only for your own lives and your family's lives, but for the work of the Lord here and for God's kingdom and His work throughout the world. So let's be people of prayer. Fourthly, I want to talk about our approachability quickly. How is fathers, I think it's an important thing for fathers, but for every one of us, approachability to our family or to our children or to those around us. Approachability. And it was mentioned this morning about Luke 15. It talks about we call it the prodigal son, but I want to mention how it's actually the father looking for the son. And that father, if it's one lesson, there's a number of lessons we can learn there, but that father there was approachable. He was approachable. We read early in that parable that the son came to him and said, Dad, I want my stuff now. Now, he had a bad attitude and a wrong desire. But the father was approachable. He was able to come to his dad and tell him that, I want it. And his dad listened to him, and he gave it to him. And yet his father looked for him. And we see that father had compassion. He had affection as the son came back. He didn't say, well, yeah, it's good, you're back. Perfect. Yeah, come over here, get some stuff on him. He hugged him. He kissed him. He welcomed him back, just as our Heavenly Father welcomes us. We're all rebellious. We all were there. And I just want to encourage you, fathers, be approachable. Don't keep your kids at a distance. Be approachable. Have a listening ear. And I think that some of that takes time. with your kids, to be approachable. Either throw a frisbee together. Read a book together. Just do stuff together. As you do stuff together, you build those relationships where you become approachable. It's not just, well, you just come to me when there's certain things. It's you have that relationship of being approachable. And there are so many examples. You could fill them in, what you like doing with your father, or fathers, what you like doing with the kids. And that changes, too, as your kids grow up. And as little kids, I used to grab my little guys and hold them, two or three of them, in a trap. And then they tried to get out. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It really was. But I wouldn't do that anymore. It's different. They clobber me now. So be approachable as a father. And I'm not here to tell you that, you know what, I got it all together. I am still learning. I have a lot to learn. I've had a lot of failures. I'm just honest with you. I have. And you can talk to my family. They'd be the first to tell you. But we can beat ourselves up about all those failures, but we need to look to the Lord and say, Lord, I failed, confess them, and move on. And look to the Lord for help. So be available to your kids. Fifthly, I want to look at the possibility. As God blesses us with children, if he does, there is a huge possibility there that these children can be children for his kingdom, and that they will bring honor and glory to him. And what a blessing to see children who know Christ as Savior and live for him. There is a huge possibility. And don't overlook that. Don't lose sight of that possibility. This is a life God's given. And he wants this life to be used for his glory, just like he wants ours to be used for his glory. So don't lose sight of that. Sometimes we can get hung up in all the deep stuff families go through. Look at the big picture. Lord, there's a life here to impact, our lives to impact. Lord, I need your help. So again, to remind us, there's a responsibility as fathers. We need to be available to the Lord, dependable, to look for dependence on the Lord, to be approachable to our family. And this, again, remind ourselves, possibility. There's potential here. And not only in a family, but even as a congregation here, I think, again, potential. As I look out over here, you might think, oh, I'm 80, I'm 85, I'm 75. You know, like, what's potential for me? There's all kinds of potential for you. It doesn't matter what age you are. The Lord wants to use you. And look to him and be encouraged. And fathers, I just want to encourage you this morning. Take your responsibility seriously. And again, as you're married, build that relationship with your wife. That is such an important thing. And how that gives stability in the home. That is one of the most important things, is that in that family unit, is a husband and wife. I just want to, this came to mind again as I'm closing here. Don't neglect it. It's so important. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And as we've looked at it and touched on a lot of ideas here, Father, how we need your help. And we just ask for that this morning. I pray that you would encourage each one, that they would be able to take perhaps something practical home today. So may your word speak. May you encourage us by your spirit. And again, we just pray for your protection. Perhaps there's someone here who just needs wisdom in all this, Lord. May you guide them, we pray too. So we just thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.